Now, I had a dilemma of exactly how to approach this, and many preachers will talk about the crucifixion. They'll talk about this. They'll start in the Garden of Gethsemane and work through the scourging and work through the statements of the cross. But I tried, and I did not feel at peace about going that route. So I'd like to look more at what Christ did in his crucifixion for us. And the key of the sermon, the key verse will be verse number 12 of Hebrews 13. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. We're going to talk about the suffering of Jesus Christ for the opportunity of giving the Christian, or the one that comes to him through faith and repentance, the ability to see sanctification. We'll define that in just a moment, but I'd like to start at verse number 8, where it says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. So, the foundation of our faith is that Jesus is the Christ. He's the Messiah. He's the anointed one to take away the sins of the world. We're also looking at the unchangeableness of God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So Jesus is never changing. Jesus is always the same. Jesus is the one that we can put our trust in to give us salvation. So again, the purpose of Christ's suffering is that he might sanctify the people with his own blood. Sanctification means to render clean in a moral sense, to purify. Those who are sanctified are referenced as Christians in general. We know in Acts chapter 20, verse 32, that God says in the middle of the verse, and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. So we understand that our purification, our rendering as being moral in front of an all-perfect God, is through the means of grace. That grace is seen which is represented in Christ giving his blood and giving his life as a full payment for our sins. In Acts 26, verse 18, it tells us that they may receive forgiveness of sin, and it's to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So we understand that sanctification is in Jesus Christ. Our being morally proclaimed or reckoned perfect is because of Jesus Christ and what he has done on the cross. In Jude, we see in Jude 1, we see to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. So understand that Jesus Christ is the means by which the Father could show his love to the world and could give him the righteousness and give us the righteousness in which we were able to be brought back into a relationship with the Father. So what is happening in this time frame? What is going on in this time frame that people are not being able to see Christ? What is drawing the Hebrews away from coming to Christ by the means of grace through the blood that was shed by Jesus Christ? Well, in verse 9 we read, be not carried about with every diverse and strange doctrine, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. So we see that we are not to be carried around with strange and diverse doctrines. We are not to be driven about as wind driveth someone about. We're not to be carried about by false teaching. Now, what would be carrying the Hebrew Christians community about? Well, sick teachings and foreign teachings to Christian faith. Now, in the exact opposite direction of what is driving them about, it is a more impure things that their hearts or their souls be established or confirmed or preserved in a state of grace. The heart is to be made steadfast in grace, not in works or meats. Meaning in the grace of the gospel doctrine. We are not to go to the Mosaic law anymore and see our righteousness through the Mosaic law. It doesn't mean that we aren't fulfilling the moral law today. It doesn't mean that there isn't anything that the New Testament saint shouldn't learn from the Old Testament law to apply to his lives or to their lives or to her life. What it is saying is we are not saved by the works of the law. We are saved by grace through faith, and that's it. And as we come today and we remember the crucifixion of our Lord, may we see the unmerited favor of God in a new light, that he would be willing to give us his only begotten Son for the purpose of us receiving eternal life so that we might be in fellowship with him forever. That our focus not be on what good things we can do, but on the good thing that has been done through our Lord Jesus Christ and his shedding of blood. May our hearts be established not in the things around us, but in the true fact that we are trusting and placing our faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And as we remember the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ, it takes our minds away from self and puts our minds and eyes totally focused on Jesus Christ, for whom he was crucified. He was crucified for us. He was put to shame and condemned outside of the city of Jerusalem for us on a hill called Calvary. Verse number 10 of Hebrews chapter 13 makes this proclamation. We have an altar, wherefore they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. Grace, or Christ, is its own altar. Remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 13, when speaking of the Old Testament priest, it says, do ye not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? And they that which wait in the at the altar are partakers with the altar. The Old Testament saint was sustained as a priest by the sacrifice given to the altar as a substitute for sin. So we as Christians have a sustaining sacrifice. Remember Corinthians chapter 10, verse 17, which says, for we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. And of course, we know that bread being Jesus Christ, the true bread sent from heaven to sustain us spiritually, to give us spiritual life, and to not just create in us a new spirit, but to give us life and life more abundantly. So that's what we trust. And that's whom we go to. Grace. Grace that was given through the means of Christ, our sustaining sacrifice, our means of coming before the Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have an altar. We have a penal covering. We have a forgiving atoning. We have a substitutional divine accounting of our righteousness. Penal means somebody suffered a penalty for us. Atoning means not just covering, but also a forgiving. A substitutional divine accounting of our righteousness is the Father accounting our sin debt paid. Now and forever. That's what we have through the cross. I wish I had more words and more gifts in orty. Yeah, orty. You can see. Whatever you call it, good speaking. To be able to paint a beautiful picture in your minds of what Christ has done for us. But for now, we're just going to have to trust in the Word of God to paint it for us. Notice, going back to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 12, with his own blood suffered without the gate. Notice the purchase price of Christ's blood. In the Old Testament, the substitutional sacrifice was a picture of the person that sacrificed the substitution, that in humility they were trusting in the promise of Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, that one day the seed of the woman would crush the seed of the serpent. So what is this blood picture? Well, the blood denotes life given up or offered as an atonement. Since the ritual of sacrifice specially emphasizes laid upon it as the material basis of the individual's life. The life of an animal offered for the propitiation appears in the blood separated from the flesh. That's why the Jews were forbidden to eat blood, because it pictured the separation of blood from the flesh. The price of sin is a life, and life is in the blood. This life is, on the one hand, in the blood presented to God, on the other hand, by sprinkling, appropriated to men. This blood thus becomes the blood of the covenant or the testament. So in the Old Testament, you would see the blood applied. And this blood applied would show the price of sin, but it would also show the covering for sin in that time. Hebrews 9:20 through 22 says, "For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of the calves and of the goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, 'This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto me, you.' Moreover, he sprinkled with the blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry, and almost all things are by law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission." There's no covering of sin. There's no passing by of sin without a perfect substitute giving their life, and the blood of that substitute being sprinkled on the things of service. So people that think that they can offer good works without the blood of Christ being sprinkled to them, without the blood of Christ and the life of Christ being given through the crucifixion, without the atonement and the penalty being paid by Jesus Christ, are free from righteousness and they're slaves to sin. So the cross is what gives us the means not only to approach the Heavenly Father, but also to do the works that are pleasing to the Father. And only a blood-bought person can do works that are accepted by the Father. I'm so glad that Christ's life through his blood has been applied to me. And I hope you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Christ's work has been applied to you. Because without the blood's application to your life, there's no forgiveness of sin. The same of the Old Testament is true of the blood of Christ. In Hebrews 10:29, it says, "Of how much more sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sacrificed an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace." So to reject the finished work of Jesus Christ represented in the blood is to do what? Is to ignore grace and trust in works. Thus, the cross, which was meant to pay for the sins of the world will not be applied to the rebel who in pride thinks he can approach God through himself, or who in pride declares himself to be his own God. The blood of Christ is the blood of the testament. We know that when we speak of taking the Lord's Supper, we say, "This new testament in my blood," that Christ says for us to remember. This designates the life of Christ offered for an atonement, contrasted with the blood of a beast slain in sacrifice. The blood of Christ, therefore, represents the life that he gave for our atonement. Atonement, a covering of forgiving, an expiation of sin. This is what the cross means to us. This is why we get excited about the cross. This is why Sunday is to be the most high holy day of all the year for the Christian. The celebration of Christ's resurrection from the dead. Why? Because it's our eternal salvation. It's the means by which we can approach our Creator, who has all power and all knowledge. It's our way that we can spend the rest of eternity in heaven instead of the lake of fire. Jesus Christ, through his grace, as seen in his blood. Has Christ's work been applied to your life? Can you celebrate in the cross of Calvary? The shedding of Christ's blood was necessary for the satisfaction of God's justice. Man's sin could not go without expiation, appeasing of God's wrath through Christ, the God-man, giving and appeasing the wrath of God through his own body to be slain on the cross for you and me. The blood is the means whereby sin is covered and remitted objectively. Not just subjectively. Not just us knowing that we are freed from sin, but God declaring us to be freed from sin. See the difference? This is the act. The dying on the cross, the shedding of blood, the blood being applied to us is the means, or what we call propitiation. We can see the benefit of Christ, our sacrifice, over the altar of the tabernacle. Christ's altar was not just a reminder, but a remedy for our sin. Amen. As the sacrifice made by the high priest was physical, having a spiritual purpose and goal, so the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ was also physical with a spiritual purpose and goal. With the sacrifice by the high priest, God did not provide forgiveness or subjective deliverance from sin in the individual of the in the life of the individual such as Christ provides, but rather a passing over, an overlooking of fault. These sacrifices were repeated yearly since there were no remedies for sin, but only reminders of it in the Old Testament. Hebrews chapter 10, 3 through 4 tells us, "But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sin every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin." So every year they would come as a nation and remember that they're sinners in the sight of an all-holy God. Every year they would be reminded that they needed someone outside of themselves to have full forgiveness of sin. Every year, I am sure I'm not overestimating this. Thousands, well, we'll say hundreds of gallons of blood were shed by innocent life being slaughtered for the nations, the nation of Israel. Every year you would see the grotesque results of sin, only to be reminded of it the next year, and the year after, and the year following. However, the shedding of the blood of Christ was absolutely necessary for the remission of sin. Remission means to cause, to stand away, to release one's sins from the sinner. Forgiveness, remission. This required Christ's sacrifice as punishment of sin. Hence the putting away of sin and the delivering of the sinner from the power of sin. Although not from its presence, which will come later after resurrection, when our very bodies will be redeemed of our sins. So there's two purposes of the blood in the Christian life. One purpose was the satisfaction of the righteousness and holiness of God. The other purpose was the transformation of and the giving of the new birth to the individual and making him a partaker of the divine nature. If you didn't receive a page from me, let's take our pages and take our red song books and turn to page 128. Thinking about the cross, I would like to sing Wounded for Me. Please look at the words before we sing. Wounded for me, there on the cross, he was wounded for me. Gone my transgressions, and now I am free. All because Jesus was wounded for me. Dying for me. There on the cross, he was dying for me. Now in his death, my redemption I see. All because Jesus was dying for me. Risen for me. Risen for me. Up from the grave, he has risen for me. Now evermore, from death's sting, I am free. All because Jesus was risen for me. Living for me. Up in the sky, he is living for me. Daily he's pleading and praying for me. All because Jesus is living for me. Hey, he's coming for me. Coming for me. Soon in the air, he is coming for me. Then with what joy his dear face I shall see. Oh, how I praise him. He's coming for me. Let's sing page 128. Wounded for me. Wounded for me, there on the cross, he was wounded for me. Gone my transgression, and now I am free. All because Jesus was wounded for me. Dying for me. There on the cross, he was dying for me. Now in his death, my redemption I see. All because Jesus was dying for me. Risen for me, up from the grave, he has risen for me. risen for me, living for me, living for me. Up in the skies, he is living for me. Daily he's pleading and praying for me. Jesus is living for me. Me coming for me. One day to earth he is coming for me. Then with what joy his dear face I shall see. Him, he's coming for me. There's two aspects I would like to look at and what his blood has done for us. And in order to look at that sanctification process that his blood has done for us, we'll need to turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. Romans chapter 5, verses 9 and 10 tells us, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So we see first, his blood is the means for God's declaration of one being righteous. Justification. This gives us the idea of an action that took place at a particular time in the past. Our justification is when Jesus Christ died on the cross, shedding his blood for us. This, in turn, enabled the Father to proclaim that a person is without guilt, or if guilty, the justice was satisfied because someone other than himself adequately bore the condemnation of the guilt. It refers basically and principally to the satisfaction of justice. This is what the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, came into the world to do. To shed his blood in order to satisfy the justice or righteousness of God. The spiritual accomplishment of this physical act is expressed by the terms expiation, propitiation, atonement. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2, we see Christ's position. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. The appeasement of God's wrath is found in the blood of Jesus Christ. The atonement of one's sin, not just the covering, but the releasing of the justice that God demands on sin is through the sprinkling of the blood of Christ. It's through the pouring out that Jesus Christ gave on that cross so long ago. We can be declared legally freed from the punishment of sin because Christ took our punishment upon himself. Christ became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Christ, who was rich, became poor, so that we, which were poor, might become rich through him. Christ took the full cup of the Father's wrath upon himself for our sins. Are you excited about that, Christian? Are you by faith trusting in the finished work of Jesus Christ? Yes, he went through excruciating physical pain. But deeper than that, he felt the sin of the whole world upon himself. He felt what it would feel like to be separated from the Father when darkness covered him for those 3.5 hours. When his Father turned his back upon him. Sin. The separation that we have from our life. Christ felt that for you and me. So when we think of the next hymn we'll sing from the Red Psalm Book, 118, page 118 in the Red Psalm Book, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, we think of what the cross has given to us as Christians. The songwriter says so well, When I survey the wondrous cross on whence the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but lost, and pour content on all my pride. It's not my righteousness, it's Christ's love. And when we come before the cross and we see whose blood was shed on the cross and whose life was given on the cross, all we can do is say, all glory to God and no glory to self. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them through his blood. See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet? Are thorns composed so rich a crown? Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a presence far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Page 128. Page 118. 118. When I surveyed the wondrous cross.
That were a present for
I just got to find my notes. Give me a second here. Notice from 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2, this process of propitiation by which the blood of Christ was meant for the appeasement of God's wrath on sin is not just for us, but is also for the sins of the whole world. Therefore, the shedding of the blood of Christ on the cross has universal sufficiency without temporal limitations. We do not eat of the body and blood of Jesus Christ literally when we partake of him, partake of the remembrance. We remembered what was given to us 2,000 years ago on the cross. His life and blood applied to all that come to him through the process of humility instead of rejecting him because of the process of pride. The shedding of Christ's blood is a historical event never to be repeated. Christ's crucifixion does not literally happen every time that we eat of the bread and drink of the wine. It does not transpose itself into the literal body of Christ and the literal blood of Christ. Rather, it's a remembrance of what Christ has done on the cross of Calvary once and forever, never to be repeated again. It has regenerated those who receive it. For those who did not receive it, it is still the only way whereby they may obtain salvation. Through the exercise of faith in Christ's substitutionary death. Do you want the effects of the blood of Christ that paid for all sins to be applied to you? It's only through the exercise of faith in Christ as the substitute, the perfect, spotless substitute for our sins. That's it. There's no other way. The phrase shedding of blood depicts Christ's death in Old Testament sacrificial language in order to show that it was the fulfillment of the sprinkling of the blood of an animal upon the covering of the tabernacle in execution of his divine promise, as seen in Genesis 3:15. It provides an all-important theological qualification to Christ's death by linking it with the Old Testament and defining it as the sacrificial in nature. The tabernacle contained the testament of God to his people, and the sprinkling of blood was done on behalf of all the people. In the same manner, in Christ's blood, there is complete expiation, since his sacrifice was acceptable to the Father as satisfaction of his justice. On Calvary's cross, Jesus Christ justified man before his Father. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And also in verse number 9 of Romans 5, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. But his justification is only potentially effective for those who have not yet believed. If his justification is not fulfilled in the individual, it's because of unbelief and not due to any insufficiency or inadequacy of the work of Christ. His blood can save all. It's our rebellion and pride that keeps us from it, not because of him, but because of us. Romans 5 gives us the second word, not just justification, but reconciliation. Romans 5 and verse 10, for if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Reconciliation is a biblical doctrinal term. It's beautiful in the sense that it means to change a person for the purpose of being able to have fellowship together. Once enemies with Christ, once enemies with God, we are now changed for this express purpose of having fellowship with God. Our fellowship with God is only because of the cross. Such a reconciliation to God necessitates his changing us through a new birth. Let's go to John chapter 1 and verse number 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. A new birth, a new family because of the cross. John 3:3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Reconciliation is only possible because of the blood applied, and because the blood and life of our Savior through his death is applied upon us, we have a new birth. That which was once dead is now quickened or made alive through Christ. I don't know if you've ever loved someone so deeply and then there has come something within your relationship that has broken that relationship. And then the party that has broken the relationship changes their mind and changes their way, and fellowship is restored. A new mindset is given to that individual, and thereby a new mindset that is given to that individual, now a new relationship can be restored between two individuals where once it was broken. So sin has broken our relationship with God. Rebellion and pride has separated man from his Creator. But Jesus Christ's blood gives us new life. And because of that new life, now we can have a relationship with our Father. This is what we're talking about when we come to the cross. New life bought for us by the blood of Jesus Christ. Romans 5:11. We, knowing that we're reconciled, that we're forgiven by his death, and we are saved by his life being implanted, that new nature given, we can boast in this, that this new life in God is through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. This new life isn't because of my good works. This new life isn't because of my action. This new life is solely placed on the appeasement of Christ's blood for our sins. Not only did it forgive our sins, but even deeper, it gave us new life. So what's the means by which you as a Christian can have a relationship and fellowship with God and live out the purpose that God has bought you, blood bought you for? Only through Christ's life, given to you at salvation. How do we have that? Because of the cross. With the exception of 1 Corinthians 7:11, all the cases of reconciliation involve man who, being sinful, is changed because of Christ and brought into friendship and fellowship with God. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 11 isn't even talking about man's relationship with God, but is talking about a husband and wife's relationship and one being reconciled, not saved, but placed under the umbrella of grace because one person is saved in the family. Therefore, the family is protected by the grace of God. But when it's all other cases, when we see this word sanctification, it involves man who, being sinful, is changed because of Christ and brought into friendship and fellowship with God. There is no separation between man and God. If man does not accept the work of Christ on the cross, he does not personally realize the crossing over into spiritual life with Christ and the light. 1 John 1:6-7. Don't worry, we're almost done. We won't go over time. I have to admit, I studied this word out, and a lot of this is going back to Greek and Hebrew scholars on these words, primarily Greek through Spiros Oriadi's book, Complete Word Study Bible. And the deeper I studied it, the more excited I got. I'm sorry if I'm covering it with a lot of theological language, but it was such a great study, and the power of these verses are hitting in a new light. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Why can't the Christian walk out his life in darkness? Because he's been reconciled. How has he been reconciled through God? Because Christ, through his blood, has given us what? New life. But if we walk in the light, isn't that good? This is expressing this verse as I've never seen it before. Christ, through the cross and his blood, has reconciled us by giving us new life. If we have fellowship, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. The blood cleansed us from all sin because Jesus Christ not only justified us, but he reconciled us by giving us new life. That's to be celebrated, Christian. You have new life in Christ because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Through Christ, you have this new life. Let's look at 1 John 3:3.
I'm sorry. Don't look at 1 John 3:3. I went to the wrong place.
He does not walk in the way of faith. So what has happened? God, if a man does not accept the work of Christ on the cross, he does not personally realize the crossing over in spiritual life with Christ and the light. He does not walk in the way of faith, the light provided by Christ. So we'll sing our second to last song, thinking about the light of Christ, found in your red hymnals on page 127. When I think about what Christ has given to me, all I can cry out is, hallelujah, what a Savior, right? Man of sorrows, what a name. For the Son of God who came. Reconciliation right here. Ruined, we're ruined. We have nothing within us that is acceptable to God. Do you understand that? We're destroyed. There's nothing good. There's not one good thing. Not one single good thing in us. We're ruined. Ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Savior. Bearing shame and scoffing rude. In my place condemned he stood. Sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Look at this. Guilty, helpless, lost were we. Blameless Lamb of God was he. Sacrificed to set us free. Hallelujah, what a Savior. I'm sure there's more verses in the one that I have, isn't there? On 127. Oh well. He was lifted up to die. It is finished, was his cry. Now in heaven exalted high. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Now listen to this. When he comes, our glorious King, all is ransomed home to bring, then anew this song will sing. Hallelujah, what a Savior. I almost feel like we need to stand up for this one. So stand up for this one. You can stone me later. 127, hallelujah, what a Savior. Man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior, bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Guilty, violent, helpless we, spotless Lamb of God was he. Full atonement, can it be? Hallelujah, what a Savior. Lifted up was he to die. It is finished, was his cry. Now in heaven exalted high. Hallelujah, what a Savior. When he comes, our glorious King, all his ransom home to bring, then anew this song will sing. Hallelujah, what a Savior.
You may be seated. Isn't he a great Savior? So in conclusion, let's go back to Hebrews. We saw how Christ suffered for us. We saw the reason for his suffering for us. So what's our response? Christ was rejected. He was cast as a sinner and sacrificed without the city, just as the animal was burnt that was meant for the sin offering was burnt and sacrificed without the camp. So Christ, taken out of the camp, suffered for us. So what's the application to us? Verse 13. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach, for we have, for here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. So these people, by receiving Christ and turning away from trusting in meats and the Levitical law as their means of salvation, are being exposed and being made fun of and saying, you have no tabernacle to worship in. You have no altar to sacrifice in front of. You have nothing. But yet they had everything. They had the eternal. They had a God whose city isn't of this world, but it's of the world to come. We have a great Savior. And we think of all that he suffered. We're willing to suffer the reproach of Christ because we realize he's given us everything. I don't care if you make fun of what Christ has done for me. Can you imagine if somebody made fun of me because I married Sarah? Ha ha, you married Sarah. I laugh at them. And say, yeah, I love Sarah. Yeah, of course I married her. But we're embarrassed when people make fun of us for believing in Christ. He's way more important than our most important physical relationship on this earth. Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote his sacred head for such a worm as I? Was it for crimes that I have done he groaned upon the tree? Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. Well, might the sun in darkness hide and shut its glory in, when God the mighty maker died for his own creature's sin. But drops of tears can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. Let's close with singing page 110 from our red hymnal, 110. Alas, and did my Savior bleed. Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? Was it for crimes that I have done he groaned upon the tree? Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. Well might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glories in, when Christ the mighty maker died for man the creature's sin. But
drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do.
Our dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for the time that we could spend looking at the cross this evening and the justification and sanctification that has brought us. Oh God, may we live in the light. May we surrender to the light. May we not surrender to the desires of the flesh, but to the directions of the Spirit. God, so that the full potential of your cross and your blood can be lived through us today. In Jesus' name, amen.